Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
It is just a thrill to be here, and certainly he is worthy, isn't he? Worthy of our praise, worthy of our lives, and we are in this series called Through Christ, and that's the connection we're going to be making today as we move forward with this idea. Because of what Christ has already done for us, how then should we live? We're going to be talking about how we should be living. And last week we talked about five things that if we incorporate into our lives through the power of the Spirit who lives within us: humility, gentleness, patience, overlooking others' faults, and then love. Love for Christ and love for others. How'd you do? How was your week? Was that in the back of your mind? I mean, often we'll hear a message, at least for me, I might even feel some conviction and think, man, yeah, and then by the time I'm done with lunch, I've forgotten, I've moved on, right? I hope that wasn't the case, but I really want you to think, how did you do? Last week I shared about one of my biggest regrets as a father, raising our kids, who I love so much, who I only wanted the best for, but I was not gentle. I was harsh and I was hard with them. I wanted them to grow up and be strong and not be timid or be fearful, to recognize that hard work has tremendous value and being willing to do what God asks you to do, no matter how hard it may seem. And I wanted that for them. I was also impatient. I expected them to keep the pace that I would walk. I expected them to be bigger and older and stronger than they actually were. And I regret that. I wasn't patient and I wasn't gentle. So, how'd you do this week? I was thinking of all the people who judged me last week when I said that. How was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for you parents with your kids home? Like, how long did it take for your gentleness and your patience to begin to wane? I saw a post, actually Karen read me a post on Facebook. Somebody posted, we're 1 inch into the blizzard and all the snacks are gone. I like that. Like, right, in real life, and the point of referring to that is, let's not forget those things that we're learning. And we are just learning them. I'm still growing in all those areas. The fact is, I had read that verse. I'd been taught that verse. I even translated that verse telling me to be gentle and patient. But I didn't ever ask him to reveal what that would look like. Thought I knew. So let's apply these things. And the other point is, God's word is so practical. I could have used those five things every single day with every interaction with other people. We have the opportunity. God's word is practical. And so today we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4. We're going to start in verse 11 and go through 16. I'm going to go ahead and read it. You can follow along in your Bibles, on your app, or on the screen. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says this: Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There's so much in there. We're going to break this passage down into three sections. The first one is we're being equipped to do His work. That's the first part. And the work of that is building up the church. And we see that God gave gifts specifically to individuals in the church, and those are equipping gifts. But in addition to that, if we went back to verse 7, we would see that every single person who trusts in Christ is given a supernatural gift. And it's to be used for the building up of others. The gift that I received, the gift that you received out of the generosity of Christ when you came to faith, isn't for you. Mine isn't for me. Our gifts are for others. Others in this body, others in this church. It's also a gift to those around us that don't know Him yet, to be used for His purposes. We're not going to spend much time on there, but if you're wondering what your gift is, there's a list that are out there, and we have something in the lobby. So if you go out to the Info Center, when you leave, grab a gift assessment. It'll take you to some of the scriptures. There's other places that talk a lot more about gifts. Pick one up and take that assessment. You can send that in, and we can send you the results, or even better, we could have a conversation about those results and think how God has gifted you to be used for His purposes. That's about all we're going to say about the first section. The second part, then, contrast immaturity and maturity. And it uses the illustration of a child. And then finally, we'll get to the point, we'll end with becoming like Christ and speaking the truth in love. So much in this passage. Before we jump into the immaturity and maturity comparison, we'll spend most of our time there. I want you to think about a couple things. Our salvation is a birth truth. The truths about coming to faith are birth truths. And when we place our faith in Christ, the work of our salvation is done. That's why we say saved. Not saving, saved. It's past tense. It's done. It's completed by Christ. That's why He said on the cross, "It is finished." The work of saving us was already done, so when we believe, it's finished, it's completed. We also see that our identity, and we spent the first three chapters last fall talking about our identity in Christ, our position in Christ, what we have because we're born into the family of God, all the things that God has given us, that is also completed. There's no more for you in Christ. You have everything in Christ that you need to live a godly life. Now, it's completed. That doesn't mean we don't grow in our understanding of those things. But growth truth, where we're at today, where we're going to be at as we move through the back part of Ephesians, is growth truth. And as we read that, did you hear the words that would help me to recognize there's a sequence to things? There's an order of things. Things like until and then. See, growth is not something that we ever really fully accomplish. Maturity never really happens this side of heaven, but maturing does. Growing does. It's a process and it's ongoing. Making that distinction helps us often to recognize now we're talking about growth and we're talking about where we start. So, let's go back to verse 13. It says this will continue a sequence. Until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. See, the goal of this growth in our lives, of maturing and becoming more like Christ, that is the goal. It's Him transforming us. It's Him renewing our minds. It's Him conforming us into His image. There's a couple of key things in there that we see that is becoming knowing who God is. It's the knowledge of God's Son, Jesus Christ. There is a component of knowledge in this. We do have to know God's Word. We have to understand God's Word. We have to apply God's Word. And we to be honest, historically, we've often shied away from that. At least I have. Because we all know that person who knows so much about the Bible, right? And they could tell you about grace and that the Greek word is charis, and they could go on and on about all the nuances, and they could quote verses with grace in it, but they are so ungracious, right? They know way more than they apply, and that's really the issue. It isn't that they know too much, it's that they're not applying that. And you know what? We can also be in danger of that. If we don't take these truths and then put them into practice, let it affect our daily lives. It's practical, it's real, and it's helpful. So then we're going to see the comparison and the desire that God has for us, knowledge of His Son, unity, and then also becoming more like Christ. So that would be the goal of us growing and maturing. Verse 14, we'll see a sequence word it begins with. Then, so after that happens, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So we're seeing again Paul using something that we understand, and that's children. We could go to Peter, chapter 2 of the first book of Peter, and see that the children or infants is a way to describe that. And he's going to take something we know. We know about babies. Some of you know a lot more than others, right? A lot more than me about babies. But we all have a sense. We understand that. And we see how a baby is born and how small they are and how they grow and how they develop the things that they need. They need loved and cared for and fed. All the stuff that goes into that. Paul is helping us to see that and then say, you know what? That's exactly like our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives are just like that. When we're born into the family of God, guess what? We're born as infants. He's done everything for us already. We're saved, secure. We are positioned in Christ. Our identity is in Him. But we still need to grow now. Now we get to begin to grow because of what He's already done for us. So we get to grow. So the comparison is with an infant. Something that we'll just say right up front, infants are fully alive. What do I mean by that? An infant is fully alive. It's never going to be more alive. We may get older, we may grow and develop, but we're never more alive. An infant is fully alive. When we're born spiritually, when we place our faith in Christ, we are born fully alive. You will never have more new life than when you got saved. Even though you're an infant, you have all the life that you're ever going to have. You have eternal life. You have a new life. And so that's the same. Another thing that's very much the same is you think about a baby. And I'm going to be a grandpa for the second time. When, Cookie? Do we know exactly? I may leave before third service if I get the call. So, Friday, okay, I can wait. A little baby, aren't they just amazing? And I look at their feet, look at their hands. I sometimes smell them, even if they're not my grandkids. Sorry. Like babies smell good. Not always, but when you bring them to church, they smell good because they're clean, right? They have all the parts they need. They have all their fingers, all their toes. They have their eyes. They have their brain. They have all their organs. They're just little. They're just tiny. And guess what? That's exactly what it's like for us when we come to faith. We have every part we need from Him to grow up. To mature, to become more like Him. Doesn't mean we will, but that's the correlation between that. So let's talk about some things that you might recognize in an infant. And we'll then make the comparison with our spiritual lives and find out about then what maturity would look like. So the first thing you see is that children, infants in particular, are self-centered. They only think about themselves. They want what they want when they want it, right? You aren't agreeing? I was expecting yes or a couple amens, right? A baby, when they get hungry, they start crying. They don't really care what time it is, day or night, 24/7. I'm hungry. I'm telling you I'm hungry. Get in here now. They don't lay there and think, oh, good grief, my mom. Oh, she's amazing. She does such a good job with me. I'm going to let her sleep because she's only had 2 hours of sleep in the last 3 days. They don't think that. They're like, where are you at and what took so long? That they're self-centered. That's the sign of immaturity. Now, as we move forward, we think not just about immaturity and that self-centeredness. They also have no discernment. Well, how's that play out? They will put anything in their mouth. If it'll fit, they'll try to put stuff that doesn't fit into their mouth. Tide commercial. Have you seen this commercial? Tide is such a great company, and instead of telling us how great their soap is, they say, hey, guess what? Your kids are so stupid or dumb or lack discernment that they will eat our little pods of soap and it'll make him sick or maybe kill him. So guess what? We designed a special package. You can put those pods in there and tighten it until it clicks, and then you don't have to worry about them eating it. They have zero discernment. They don't know what's good for them. They don't know what's bad for them. They don't know what'll kill them. It's all equal. No discernment. Sign of immaturity. They're easily distracted. It's hard to keep their attention, right? How long can you keep a child, maybe a toddler a little longer, but an infant, how long can you even keep their attention? I jump, I clap, I do somersaults, roll around on the floor, throw them up in the air, and they're like, this is great, this is great. One time, and I actually should have brought this film clip, Karen and I were singing and dancing with George, and we're jumping around, and then the next thing you know, we're still singing and jumping around, and he's kicking a soccer ball, right? His attention span isn't there. They can't focus. And it's not just in the physical. Emotionally, they can't. They go from crying to laughing back to crying in like 15 seconds. Their emotions are a roller coaster. Up and down. Up and down. They're unstable. They also need care. They have to be watched. Dads, did you hear me? They have to be watched. They need that. They don't know where the dangers are. In fact, you think about how much they need to be watched. And maybe as they get a little older, it's even worse because now they can start moving around. Now we even have cameras on bed so you can watch them while they're asleep. We need to watch them. We need to love them. They need fed. They need bathed. They need taught. They need protected. They need loved. Now, in saying all those things, we are equating this physical to help us understand those are the same marks of a spiritually immature person. And when we say that, you need to recognize that is not a negative thing. We don't look at babies and say, come on, why don't you walk yet? Why aren't you helping around the house yet? We don't say that to babies. We expect them to be there. That's exactly where they're supposed to be. Paul, when he wrote this, he actually included himself by using the pronoun we, including himself. We inclusive need to grow. Paul, the apostle, is identifying himself as needing to grow. He needs to mature more than he is. Every one of us that was born into this world was born as an infant. Every one of us born when we trusted in Christ for the sufficient payment for our sins, guess what? We're born into the family of God, and we're all born infants. And we need to grow. So what would be some of those marks of growth? Some of the marks are this, and we saw this in the text. Knowing the truth of God's word. We referenced that, right? Knowing the truth of God's word. Knowing and having knowledge about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That is key. That would be the opposite of no discernment. It's like that infant, take anything in. As we grow and we learn more and more about our Savior, we have more and more clarity of how we should live our lives. We have better clarity of why some things are dangerous and might even hurt us or hurt the people we love. And so we recognize God loves us. He's got a great plan because we know Him. We know He only has our best in mind. That's growth. That's growth towards maturity, knowing and understanding that. I think about the way that we put knowledge into practice. That's often the hard part for me. I know I'm supposed to be humble. I know I'm supposed to know God's word and know Him and the truth about it. And yet I don't spend enough time in His word. I get busy. I get distracted. Those are all areas that we struggle in. Growth and maturity, it would look like this. Christ-centered and others-focused. It's not that I think less of myself, I just think less of myself. Does that make sense? Like, it's not that I'm telling you, hey, don't ever think about yourself. That's probably not going to happen anyway. But what we're supposed to do is think of the needs of others first. That's where it starts. Putting their needs in front of ourselves. And the way to do that is through the power of the Spirit. And this idea of a Christ-centered life, what would that look like? I think an illustration that helps me think about it and be more conscious of it is a GPS. So I'm going someplace. I really don't know where we're going or at least how to get there. I just, every corner I come up, I look at the GPS. It says left, right, veered, whatever, right? And I'm following those instructions. I believe that should be the way that we approach our lives. That as I come up on every decision, big or small, that I'm looking to Him to tell me, hey, turn left. I'm taking you over here. Don't turn right. That's a dead end. That will end over a cliff. Don't turn left. Or just stop and wait for the traffic to clear. Him giving instruction. That's that Christ-centeredness. Him. That I'm bought with a price. I'm His. And looking to Him for Him to give that instruction. Others, thinking of others, of course, it's being a servant to others, being humble. Then stability, which would be the opposite of unstable. Didn't spend enough time on the unstable, but think about how unstable a child is. You know, they sometimes, when they're first learning to walk, they have trouble transitioning from carpet to flooring. It's like a bump this big, and they will go over it. And then when they come back the other way, they'll do it again. It's a good thing they're close to the ground and are made of mostly rubber. You didn't know that, did you? But it's true, right? They're little and they're close to the ground. They're not stable. A maturing person is stable. They have endurance, they have grit. They don't just have joy on the mountaintops, they have peace in the valleys. I know that you know some people that are maturing in their faith to the place where when tragedy strikes them, they handle it different than the rest of us would. Some of us, when tragedy strikes, we go into denial. We can't even process it. Some of us just would ignore it. Or actually, like my grandfather, after my grandmother died, he spent the next 20 years doing nothing because he stopped living. Couldn't cope. Couldn't deal with it. We do one of those two things, but I have seen the stability. I know a person who passed away this past year, and he had, most of his life, had really significant health issues. Just struggle after struggle after struggle. In fact, the last few years of his life, he had a stroke, another stroke, and was in a wheelchair. And you know what the people that knew him best, his family, said? He never complained. Can you imagine that? That's a maturity. He's seeing things not through his own perspective. He's seeing through things through God, like Rose and that thing, that body, the body he had that was breaking down, that was broken, preventing him from living any type of life that he would want to live, is temporary. He was looking at the eternal. He knew that God was still able to work in his life and through him, even though he couldn't get around anymore. That's stability. That's stability. His wife showed tremendous stability as he passes away. And of course, she's grieving. She's not in denial. This is a tremendous loss. But she has stability because she knows she's going to see him again. She knows that he's no longer suffering, and that gives her even a sense of joy that he's no longer suffering. That's stability. That's what maturing looks like. That's what maturity looks like, that great stability. The other thing that a mature person is able to do is love. Able to love and encourage and care for the immature. A mature person would never be at this church and say, I can't believe that person did how that immature is acting like they're immature. A baby's acting like a baby. What a shock. A mature person recognizes that. They know that when you're born an infant, you're going to act like an infant. You need to grow and develop. Sure, they want that for you, but they recognize, when I first got saved, I was an infant. I needed to grow. I needed people in my life to care about me and to feed me and protect me and love me. We're all in that same situation. And a mature person doesn't judge us for being infants, for not knowing everything, not knowing the right word to say, or maybe not knowing the wrong thing to say and saying it. Maybe even doing the wrong thing. This idea is God meets us where we're at in our growth. Shouldn't we meet each other there? This continuation, it's a line, it's a progression. And I may be here and you may be there, or I may be back here. But that idea of we'd never look down on an immature person. And I pray that this church is always full of immature people, because people are coming to faith and they're born into the family of God and they're here for us to love and care for and teach and lead and protect. That's what we would do. That would be a sign of maturity, becoming more like Christ and able to speak the truth in love. We're going to end with speaking the truth in love, but this idea of more like Christ. Think of that goal. It doesn't say become like Christ, it says more like Christ. That gives me a little bit of hope, right? Because he was perfect. We are so far from that. But it's asking him, what areas in my life are not like yours? We can read about him. We can know about him. What ways would he have me grow? And how would we grow? Being transformed by the renewing of our minds. The work of the Spirit of God who gave it to me when I got saved. And that's part of my identity now, that I have the Spirit of God living in me. Follow his leading in my life. Not just about directions, but the things he wants to change to reveal to me. Reveal to you. Transformed and conformed. If you're wondering, okay, what would that look like? Just let me ask you this question. Am I living more like Christ this year than I did last year? Let's take a year. Growth is slow, so look back and think about a year ago. Does Christ have more influence in your life, your daily life, today than he did a year ago? Of course it should, but that's a pretty good indicator. Maybe your growth is being stunted. There should be a noticeable difference in your life. Not just in action, but in thought. Ask yourself that question. Has his influence in my life grown? Is it growing? Do I know him better? Do I love him more? Am I less like the world than I was a year ago? Those are questions you can ask to kind of get an assessment of where you're at. And wherever you're at, I can tell you God's going to meet you there. And I'm going to tell you something else. We need to be the kind of church that we meet each other where we're at. I want to finish with Ephesians 4:15. But just recognizing that our relationship with Christ, there is no growing by yourself. That's why that survey that we talked about last week, where 56% of believers, Christians, said, my spiritual life is completely private. There is no growth and maturing without other people. We could talk about all the reasons why that's true. It's mostly because we look through a little knothole in the wall. We don't have the perspective. We're myopic. We need people from the outside. We need people who have gone before us in their walk of faith to speak the truth in love. And that's what this verse talks about. It says this: instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See how mature I am? I kept reading even though I heard a phone. Right? I'm not easily distracted. Now you are all distracted, right? So, we're learning about speaking the truth in love. You know, I think we fall into two camps. Some of you are better at speaking the truth. Some of you are much better at caring for people. But both of those are a ditch. Even people that care for people and they're there for them and they support them. If you're in that relationship, you have a good relationship, this person knows you absolutely care about them, you love them and you're caring for them, if you don't ever speak the truth to them, you're actually harming them. The other side, and maybe you're like me, and this is probably my strength, I'm better at speaking the truth, as I see it at least, and I get better at it the more frustrated I get and more angry. Then I'm really good at speaking the truth, right? Well, guess what? That's deadly. Look at Christ. We're supposed to be growing more like Him, this idea of speaking the truth in love. Do you know that He says the harshest thing to humans? You are a sinner. You are hopeless. You are helpless. You're condemned. The wrath of God is on you. Jesus is saying these things. He tells people that. Your ultimate future is separation from God and in hell for eternity. That's truth. That truth alone is not what God intended. And so we see Jesus do what? He wraps that message, that hard truth, this truth that, man, just think how offensive that truth is. You have, right? You heard that truth once. You maybe tried to share that with someone else, how offensive that is. But think about what Jesus then not just says, but does. Yeah, that's where you're at now, but guess what? You are so valuable to me. I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you. It's how much I love you. Truth spoken in love. We don't grow by ourselves. I want to just end with a couple of challenges for you. This idea of growing more like Christ is part of the process. It's okay. And I would ask you to pray and ask God to help you identify those areas that you need to grow in. Ask Him. He'll show them. Ask Him too. Maybe you're thinking, I don't even want to do that. Then ask Him to give you the desire to grow. Ask Him to give you more of a desire for Him so that in a year from now you can honestly say, no, I'm being transformed this past year. I'm more in love with Jesus this year than I was last year. Ask Him to give that desire to you. Ask Him to reveal these areas to you. And be honest with where you're at. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be wherever you're at and know that God is going to meet you there. God is going to meet you there. Be in God's Word. Know Him. The knowledge of the Son. That's time in the Word. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Listen to good teaching, not harmful or detrimental teaching. Listen to the truth of God's Word. Ask Him for wisdom if you don't understand it when you read it. Finally, and this may be one of the hardest of all, pursue deep relationships with other people in this church. Open and honest and vulnerable relationship. We don't grow when we're alone. We need each other. We all need each other. And maybe you have been a believer a long time. Maybe every year you've seen growth in your life. I pray that that's you. And if that's you, then I would challenge you with this. Love the rest of us the way we need to be loved. Know how to care for us and point us to Christ. Be willing to share those truths that we need to hear and do it in love because you do care about us. And you want to help us. I pray that you'll love others enough to speak that truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for your Son and all we have in Him. And Lord, as we think about this journey that you have each one of us on, Lord, you know how to give love and care. And you know it's part of your body here. God, I pray that we would just look to you. We would ask for your help, ask for your strength. And as you give it, Lord, we would surrender. Surrender to those things that keep us in our immaturity, things that hinder us from going forward and growing and letting you change us from the inside out. You are so worthy, and in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.